A Mortgage Choice Clyde. If you have a if you want to refinance or you're looking at getting a mortgage, go to Mortgage Choice Clyde. They'll help you out.
Awesome.
Could you introduce me to Clyde? Because I've been trying. Yeah. Could they help me out? Clyde?
Are you looking to buy or?
No, who's Clyde?
Clyde, that's the location.
Oh, I thought it was the guy.
No. Oh, three-pointer. And the force just erupts here. Hold up.
Welcome back to another episode of Cavs Corner. I'm your host, Ashley Zalek, and I'm here with my co-host, Matthew Suter, self-proclaimed 2023 social media guru of the year. And of course, sitting beside us, or between us, I should say, is Casey Cavaliers NBA men's superstar, Dylan Stith. Thanks for joining us, Dylan.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me.
Welcome, welcome.
We'll quickly just jump straight into some results here. So first off, Dylan's team, the NBA on men, they went down to Kilsyth by 18. Tell us a bit about that game, what happened throughout. Obviously, you know, it didn't go the way we liked. So, you know, what are we looking at changing without giving too much away building into this week's game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, playing back at home, back at the Fortress, like, of course, we wanted to, you know, protect it, you know, and we had a good week of preparation. Kilsyth, man, they, you know, they came off of a good win last weekend. You know, we thought they were a team that were, you know, vulnerable and just like us, hungry for a win. They had a good game last weekend and they came in. They moved the ball well, man. And Adi Tomata, who I used to play with in Big V days, like I know how good of a player he can be when he gets going. And we let him get a little too comfortable, you know, in the first quarter. And, you know, they showed us how to move the ball, how to play together. They made some big shots. And, yeah, and for us, you know, some pretty clear things that, you know, we need to identify and fix and, you know, training. We have such a good group of guys, like great communicators, and you know, Tuesday we were all kind of on the same page. So Thursday it'll be about getting after, you know, moving the ball more, trusting each other a little bit more, you know, sticking to our principles, and, you know, hopefully taking care of a big back-to-back.
I think that's one of the most exciting things about the league this year, especially on the men's side, well, actually on both sides, is that the league's so close. I think it feels like anyone on their day can beat anyone. Like there's no, you know, clear top six teams or clear bottom six teams. Anyone can beat anyone. It hasn't been like that in previous years. So how are you finding the competitive nature of this season?
No, it's absolutely correct. Like this season, I know it's the same for a lot of people who are, like, you know, following the standings and the results. You know, on Monday when you look, or Sunday night when you look at the games, you know, you're always going to find, you know, one or two, maybe even three games that win a result that you just didn't expect. But that's just the firepower of, you know, Australian basketball right now. It's just the reality. It's the trickle-down effect. You look at where the NBL is. You look at, you know, NBL 1, you know, Big V, the state leagues. Everyone right now, there's just a different caliber of basketball player. There's more shot-making, you know. So it's just one of those things where, you know, it's cool to see the growth in the last, you know, few years, so it's cool to see where it's at now. Absolutely. But it's a competitive league and it makes it fun. I mean, you just know, you know, when you got a double hitter, if you're able to string, you know, a good couple weeks in a row, you can change your position on the ladder really quick.
We'll keep pushing to the results because we will go through a bit of an interview with you in a moment. NBA women, they also went down to Kilsyth by 6. We had the debut of Alice Kunick, and Taylor Simmons has had a few more games there. So, Matt, I wasn't at the games. I was at a Mother's Day function. We spoke about that last week. Do you want to tell us, did you see much of the game when you were working there? It's hard to see when you're working.
It is. Obviously, as a game day manager, it'd be hard to see all the game. From patches that I saw, they're going to be very impactful throughout the season. I think when they start to gel, obviously, like, we got Lauren Van Clunen coming in, and it was Alice's, obviously, first training session with the group last week. I think as they gel more and as the sides come together, they'll be a really powerful team towards the end of the year.
I think it's a step in the right direction. We talked about this last week. The women have gone down by a couple of bigger margins throughout the season so far. They've also had a few good wins. So there's immediate impact there bringing that margin down. So before, when they were losing, I feel like they were losing by 15 plus. Now that margin's down to 6. So that's good to see. The Youth League men played Sandringham on the weekend. They picked up a big 18-point win. How did the Youth League women go?
The Youth League women went to Nutterwadding and beat them by 36.
Yeah, so, big wins there. Let's talk about the Ray White Cranbourne Player of the Week.
Sure. The Ray White Cranbourne Player of the Week goes to Preston Boongay. He's been absolutely phenomenal this season. 18 points, 4 rebounds, and a 70% field goal percentage on the weekend.
Yeah, he had an unreal week. If you haven't been following us on social media, we love Preston.
Mm.
Not that we don't love you, but we've over the past season and a half, we've fallen in love with Preston. We love his consistency, the way he goes about it. He does the team thing every time. Yeah, no, we love everything about Preston. It's good to see he's having another consistent season so far.
Team captain too, I believe. Team captain?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We should know that.
It's Preston and Gilly, I'm pretty sure.
Preston Gilly. For the Youth League women, it's Beck Peacock.
Yep.
Youth League men, Kai Taylor?
I think it is Kai Taylor.
I think it's Kai Taylor. Yeah, we do know.
We do know. We know our stuff.
We're not inside
Look
the
Look at
football.
You guys go. That's good.
We're trying to remember these things. We're going to do our plays and focus now for this week. Similar to last week, we're going to do it's a big week four type of attitude. So, you know, who's it going to be a big week four? Dylan, your team, the player that we've picked is Adam Thoseby. So, obviously, we know he's a sharpshooter in the team. He's been averaging probably about 15 to 20 points a game just on the back of those sharpshooting efforts, getting into the right spots, getting those the ball moving. So, tell us a bit about Adam and how you think he's going to be able to get back into the rhythm that he was in.
You know, I feel, and we feel as a group, you know, Thoseby is, you know, one of the best, if not the best, three-point shooter in our league. And I think you can ask around the league and ask other teams, other coaches, they would agree. For a guy like him, you know, it's not about him trying to find his rhythm. It's more about, you know, our offense and us as a team, you know, finding a rhythm to put him in better spots. Like, you know, the reality is you got a guy like him who can score like that. He needs to just have sheer more opportunities.
Yeah.
He's a worthy player of focus because he's a guy that we need to win big games, and that's a responsibility of the group.
I think you're spot on there that he's one of the league's best shooters. In one of his first games, in the Keelor game, back when you played away there, I remember watching the stream online. His rhythm is unreal. Like, he catches the ball. I think at one point there was a guy that was running at him, could have definitely nailed him in the hit, and his rhythm didn't change. Caught the ball, shot it like there was no one there, which is, I mean, I've never not played at the highest level, but I could never do that. There's no way I'd be able to shoot the ball without adjusting anything if someone's running at me as fast as they can.
Yeah. We've seen you shoot. Hey, we've all seen you shoot.
No, for my three-point efforts. You know, it's... you don't. Hey, you don't.
Are you Carmelo-esque?
Carmelo-esque, yeah, for sure.
I didn't know that. Carmelo-esque, you heard it here first.
Well, because I did the intro, didn't catch my intro. You know, former club MVP, you know, back in Division 2, but we won't talk about that. The trophy says NBL 1 still, so it
really
makes it look like I played in the NBL 1 back in 2013.
Did you like make the trophy?
Did I make the trophy? No, I didn't make the trophy. No. I'm a 15-time winner of that award. NBL Women, who's going to be out? Who's it a big week for?
Yeah, so we've got a new player coming in, Lauren Van Clunen. I guess former Luxembourg teammate of yours as well. You both played in Luxembourg. 2023, she averaged 18.3 points per game, 2.5 assists per game, and 5.8 rebounds per game. Don't know how you get the 0.8s in normal time, but that's just what she averaged.
Well, that's how averages work, so that's basic maths. No, I think she's going to be a great addition to that team. Obviously, the team's already looking good. They've just brought in Alice, now they've brought in Lauren. Now they'll have some consistency, hopefully, moving forward. So I'm expecting a few more wins over the next few weeks. That being said, the Mount Gambier game this weekend is going to be tough, but as we just touched on before,
Bendigo is going to be tough.
I was going to say, every game is actually tough, so it's not going to make a difference who the opponent is. Youth League men?
Yep.
Do you guys train with the Youth League men much?
Yeah. You know, on Tuesdays, and, you know, I know we're about to speak on, well, both of the players that we're about to be in focus for Youth League men, but they, you know, they'll come up and play with us, and they're huge. I mean, they're impactful on the court with us, so it's awesome to get around those guys. Like, there's some ballers at KC Youth, so there's no question about it.
Well, it's a big week for the men, Truman Byrne. Last week, he was a bit down, 4 points, four rebounds in about 21 minutes on the court. Obviously, they got the win, but we'd expect those numbers to increase because we know what Truman can do. I mean, we've seen it even at the NBL 1 level. That debut that he made was unreal for a fella of such young age. I mean, he's got the size, but I don't think anyone's expecting him to have, I think, what did he have, 13 points in 30 minutes that game? Something like that. That's an unreal NBL 1 debut. So, Truman, not that we're getting on your case, but we're expecting you to step up this week.
Mr. Consistent, Ben Waller, again, 34 points out the gate. I think most of them were early from memory. And 100% from the three-point line.
So we should have a quick shout-out to Ben because we can't let that stat line go without talking about it. Youth League Women, big week for Lucy Dexter. Obviously, she plays at the point, which doesn't always result in more points scored or things like that, but she's had some really great games with assists. We'd love to see that number increase a bit and then just looking after the ball a bit more. We're expecting big things from her this week.
That's right, and a huge shout-out to Caitlin Field, who made the All-Star first team.
Ben made that too, we should recognise
that. Oh, and Ben, first-time All-Star 5, first team. For the big V, 27 points,
eight three-pointers. It's a big number.
And 12 rebounds, so a double-double.
It's a big. That might be, not that she hasn't had good games before, but that might be Caitlin's best ever game in the KC uniform, I think.
Not many people are hitting eight threes and getting 12 rebounds in the same game.
Yeah.
No.
It's pretty good.
Time for the highlight of the week. We love this. It's we go through all the footage, try to pick one. We've gone with the Preston Boongay alley-oop dunk. Do you want to talk it through?
No, you can.
Well, I did the intro today. We thought we're mixing it up a bit.
Nah. Well, you know, what about we get Dylan to go through it?
I don't think you've seen the play, have you yet? You were there.
I was around half court to the right a little bit.
Do you remember the play?
Yeah.
No, go for it. Talk us through it.
So Preston gets a steal and kicks ahead to Thoseby. could see it coming from a mile away. I think the guy under the basket wanted no parts of the bad news that could come with it, and he made a business decision. Preston to Thosby, Thosby to Preston, and slam a jam.
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing that the Kilsyth guys did make those business decisions, because both the guy under the ring and the chaser, you can see it on the footage here, the chaser that comes down the court, he pulls up short.
Yeah.
No one wanted to get up in Preston's grill when he's flying up like that. So well done, Preston. So player of the week and highlight of the week for Preston there. So need a few more jams from you. No, although you had a big three-pointer fadeaway in Tassie. I think it was in Tassie. The fadeaway in the corner.
Yep.
Yeah,
falling out of court.
There was one where he stuffed it on the rim. I remember that.
Yeah, I got fouled, I reckon.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. We'll have to go back through the footage.
But hey, I will say it should have been an N1. And I also will say I don't want my highlights to be referenced from 3 games ago. So I got to be a little bit better.
That's true. All right, Dylan. We're going to talk a bit about yourself now. So start off with, we're going to just go quickly. Season averages so far for Casey. You've had 19 points per game, 2.11 assists per game, and 7.56 rebounds per game. Those are the averages, Matt, just so you know. Not his actual in-game stats. And they're on par with your a career NBL on averages, which is pretty cool to see how consistent you've been across the journey. Speaking of the journey, take us through how you got from where you started as a child all the way through to playing professional basketball.
Yeah, I mean, the equivalent of like, you know, domestic and in the States, you know, things like the YMCA, right? So I grew up playing YMCA basketball. And then when I was old enough, football, baseball, you know, I was playing three sports just, you know, year round for, you know, until, you know, 16, 17. So
were you as good at all three sports as you are at basketball? Or was basketball definitely like a standout?
Basketball, yeah. I mean, once I started to get a little bit taller. and an important factor in that is, you know, my dad loved football, basketball, and baseball as well. Baseball and basketball a little bit more. And my brother, you know, my older brother had, you know, some success in basketball early on. He's a 7-footer.
Makes it easier when you're up near the ring.
But he also was a good pitcher. You know, he had some leverage, you know, coming from the mound. But, you know, I think he had a couple fastballs hit back at him, and he said, yeah, I'll stick with basketball. So I guess seeing him, you know, do his thing in basketball and having, you know, my father, like, you know, really help me out and encourage me. You know, we would get into middle school. We'd get into the gym before school. You know, he knew some people so he could get us in. And, you know, he would rebound for me for about an hour before school started. You know, so this is before the shooting machine. So, you know, he was chasing some rebounds, man. I'll tell you what, because I wasn't shooting too of a clip. But I started to fall in love with basketball. Then my high school was pretty good. You know, I went to a public school, like, you know, 2,000, you know, kids at the school. And we all loved our sports, you know, small town in Virginia. Liberty High School, Bedford, Virginia.
Not sure that they watch, but yeah.
I'll share it on my feed. So, you know, some of my friends will see it. But yeah, no, you know, great friends and great memories. You know, we enjoyed our sports and And then when the time came, you know, I in high school, you know, I was, you know, coming off the bench a bit in my 11th grade year. Then my senior year of high school, you know, I had a pretty good season. You know, I did well, and our team, you know, made it pretty far. You know, I didn't have any scholarships or anything,
yeah.
You know, believe it or not. And you know, my brother just finished playing professionally in Spain. He came back and at St. Vincent College, where his alma mater, he came back to, you know, further his education and do a little bit of assistant coaching. And he convinced the head coach to take his little brother. Honestly, I didn't have, you know, too many schools that were after me. It was only a few Division IIIs who were interested. So a bit of a late bloomer. But when I got onto that campus, you know, my brother made sure that I was going to put in some extra miles. So literally, you know, after practice, you know, I'm literally running extra miles. So, you know,
what league do they play in?
So they're in the President's Athletic Conference. So it's a Division III conference, you know, around West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania. You know, Midwest, Northeast region, you know, a lot of players from the DMV, they call it DC, Maryland, Virginia, the home of the best basketballers.
I can't argue with you.
You know, they say LA, maybe New York, but it's DMV, so that's confirmed as well. You know, when I got to school, you know, balancing, you know, the school life and basketball life was something that I had to get adjusted to. But like I said, you know, having, you know, all the times that, you know, I had with my, you know, father growing up, you know, the passion I had for basketball and my mom, you know, always supporting us, like, you know, I had a good, you know, base for what I wanted to do, and then seeing my brother have success with it, you know, it helps. That's just the reality. And I listened to him when he said, "Hey, you got to run around the gym, you know, holding some weights above your shoulders like this, because, you know, you can build some endurance. So small things like that.
That sounds horrific, if I'm being honest.
It's tough.
We used to do it with the basketball in juniors.
Yeah.
The big difference between doing it with the basketball and doing it with weights.
Yeah. Well, that's 2 days a week versus 5 days a week, yeah, is Australia versus States. That's, you know, and it was an experience that, you know, really helped give me some resilience, right? So, you know, when I still, with that being said, you know, I was playing Division III in my first, you know, year. I wasn't playing too many minutes, you know, and people would say, if you played Division III, damn, you must, you know, been starting the whole time. No, I only started, you know, halfway through my junior year. So I really had to, I was sitting the bench on a Division III team. So I really had to, you know, create an identity and just, you know, do a lot of hard work when no one was looking, kind of thing. And it just became kind of normal. And then when my senior year came, like I had a big year, you know, academics, and, you know, my on court, it all came together, and I started to, you know, really, you know, have a sense of confidence, you know, and I felt like I was a leader, a captain, and you know, I was able to be, you know, have a huge impactful season, and you know, it was a great group of guys I got to be a captain for. So yeah, I kind of sprungboard that into, you know, a tryout, a workout, and then took a one-way flight to Australia.
Nice. Well, that's a great message, obviously, to the Junior Cavaliers, that doesn't matter where you're at currently with your basketball, you put in the hard yards, you put in the extra work, you do the extra training, you do all the small things, the 1%ers, that, you know, eventually it does work out, that, you know, it all does come together if you make the effort. So, you know, you can't just sit there and sulk about not getting the time. You put the effort in, it comes.
Yeah, and preparation, you know, is going to meet opportunity. So at the end of the day, you know, when you feel like, you know, you're trekking along and you don't feel like that progress is happening, you just got to gauge yourself against who you were the day before, who you were the week before. And as long as you feel that progress, there's going to be a moment where, hey, this is that time that coach is going to reach out, or, you know, that opportunity is going to reach out, and then you can trust that little bit of work you put in, and then that's what it's about, man.
So then you come out to Australia. Tell us about that. 2015, Big V, Melbourne Tigers coming out as an import. Obviously, that's very different, I imagine, compared to what you used to. Tell us a bit about that transition.
Well, I didn't know what to expect, man. It was my first time being abroad. Like, I'd never been out of the States before, so, like...
Good country to come to then.
Yeah, man. It wasn't... Well, my first... I remember I got the itinerary for the tour team manager, and I remember, you know, reading it, and it was like, you know, I'm staying at the Dingley International Hotel, and I'm like, you know, this is cool. I'm going to be fancy in Melbourne, Dingley International. And for, I don't know those who know Dingley International Hotel, but it wasn't the glitz and glamour that I expected. So, you know, got here, and, you know, in the Keysborough area is where I first, you know, stayed my first few nights in Australia. And, you know, we played against the Keysborough Cougars. That was my first game in Australia, Tour Team versus Keysy. We went to Geelong, played against the Corio Bay Stingrays and the Supercats. So, and then I think third game we played against like Blackburn, Mark Brackey saw me play a game, and then he called Andrew Gaze and said, you know, I think I have a guy who you could, you know, grab on your Big V team. Then Andrew Gaze actually called me, and I didn't know who he was, you know, at that time. But I remember
FIBA Hall of Fame. Wasn't it? Not 2015. 2015, it wasn't FIBA Hall of Fame, but FIBA Hall of Fame, Andrew Gaze.
It's understandable. No one knew who he was in 20. No, I'm I, you know, because I actually called my brother, and my brother knew who he was. Yeah. You know, my brother's, you know, was very astute to overseas basketball. So he's like, oh, you're like, shit, really? Andrew Gaze called you? Yeah. I was like, yeah. And he's like, okay, well, make sure you do well, you know, at the workout. So, I made the team. You know, it was a fun year, man. It was really eye-opening. Like, I didn't know what to expect, and you know, I'm learning a lot about the league. You know, back then it was the Matt Snowballs of the world, like the Jason Reardons.
Yep.
You know, like Marlo Hicks, like they were like dominating the league back then. And, you know, it was just interesting to see, hey, you know, to be successful in this league, or to be successful in Australia, you know, Big V, NBL 1 Siebel back then, you know, you gotta be high character, you know, you gotta be somebody who knows the game from a standpoint of, you know, intelligence, passing, moving, and chemistry. So it was an eye-opening experience, but it was one where I've always felt like that's what the game should be. So
nice. So you got your foot in the door, then you moved on to the McKinnon Cougars. We didn't want to talk about this too much because we played against you a long time during that period, and unfortunately I think we were on the losing side of a few of those battles. You tell us a bit about playing for McKinnon and playing against Casey when you're playing for McKinnon.
No, so I mean, after Tigers, you know, after Gazy said, look, you know, this is what we would like to do for you, but, you know, see what other opportunities are out there. I met Allison Cody, you know, who was at McKinnon then, and I saw how fast she, you know, grew that club, and I could see, you know, the direction they were headed and like the atmosphere they had and how they were building. So it was awesome to be a part of that growth at that club. And then, yeah, I mean, we would be driving down to, you know, Cranbourne to play against a KC Cavaliers team quite often. And, you know, we had, you know, playoff battles as well towards the end. And I always enjoy playing down here.
We saw the stat lines.
Yeah. It's always fun. You know, it's always a good atmosphere. And the crowd here, they like to – this is back when they were a little closer to the court.
Yeah.
And they like to give you a good chat during the game. So, and they gave us a good chat this weekend as well. But, yeah, it's nice to – it was nice to play down here and play against some of those teams like, you know, Raheem and Brandon Polk, like all guys that I've matched up with, you know, tons of times, McInnes as well. And, yeah, and, you know, I stayed in McKinnon, eventually, you know, won that championship that I wanted to get, finally got one. And then, you know, that was 2019. And then
good, it was a good team, the 2019 really McKinnon team.
80, that's where 80 Tomata, I mean, you know, backtrack to our loss to Kilsyth. I know how dangerous of a player he was that season.
He scored another player too in that McKinnon team, didn't you?
Eric Williams.
Yeah, I feel like I just remember the feeling that it was like the big three. Like
yeah, it was me, Eric Williams, and 80 Tomata, yeah. It was filthy. I mean, 80 was our point guard, and he would get it. He could give you. He literally gave us a 50-point game. Yeah. So it's pretty good when you're big three. You got a guy who can give you 50.
Well, if you could start dropping some 50-point games here, that'd be appreciated. You put your foot in it now. Here we go. And then now, so obviously you've made the jump from there. You got some time to play with Melbourne United for a couple of years. Tell us a bit about that, what that was like. Obviously, it's a very different experience, especially you weren't naturalized then, so you're still considered an import. For those of you who don't know, you're naturalized now, so you're not considered an import anymore. Yeah, so tell us a bit about the United experience from an import point of view there and the challenges that obviously there are to try and break into the NBL as an import, because obviously there's only three spots for those teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously high-level basketball, right? Rest in peace to Corey, you know, Homicide Williams. Like, it's no cupcake league. And, you know, he's, you know, being a big ambassador for sport in Australia and, you know, one of my friends as well. So, you know, he's someone who put it in words that, you know, we all can remember. The NBL is a tough, it's tough. And the timing in which, you know, I got involved in the NBL and, you know, was able to get on the court and was able to be a part of, you know, championship-winning team, that was some of the best years the NBL has had. You know, you had LaMelo Ball in the league, you had Josh Giddey, you know, the imports like, you know, Casper Ware, you know, high-level guys. And, you know, the team that, you know, we were able to win a championship with in Melbourne. You know, we had Jock Landell, Joe Achwill, like...
Good group.
Yeah, man, Jack White, you know, Maka. So it was an extraordinary group. The league, man, it's just one where, you know, the pace... You know, plays at the rim, you know, the physicality. On TV, it may look like it's a, you know, the ticky-tack calls, but it's a physical league, you know. When it comes to off-ball bumps and cuts, when it comes to plays at the rim, you know, it's an above-rim game, and you can't make mistakes, they make you pay. And, you know, it was fun. You know, we got to play, obviously, in some of the NBA games. We got to play against, like, Oklahoma City Thunder when they had their big three.
How was that?
Russ and PG. Oh, it was amazing, man.
Like, what was the crowd like at that game? Because obviously,
well, it was actually a really big crowd. It was a preseason game, of course, but it was the first game for PG and Melo in Oklahoma City, so it was, you know, it was almost a sellout. Everyone wanted to see what it looked like, this new big three, and I know PG started off the game pretty cold, but you know he never lost his confidence. He saw one go in, and you know you look around the crowd, you know it's like the man in the arena, like it's pretty extraordinary. But one of the most impressive, you know, players, you know, matched up with in that game, or, you know, got to see on court, with Steven Adams. Like, it's ridiculous the amount of strength he has, man. Like, you know, I'm not going to name any of the guys on Melbourne United he was throwing around, but he was throwing them around. So, you know, he's not much you can do when the shot goes up and he's around. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does love a board. All right, cool.
Obviously, playing at a high level with, obviously, like, you know, Melbourne United, Luxembourg, all those high-level teams. What's your pre-game ritual, like what do you do to get yourself in the groove?
Are you superstitious type?
Do you have a routine that you go through?
I personally have, like, I have an opinion that all athletes are slightly superstitious, even if they don't realize. It's just what degree are you. I kind of go out of my way to make sure I'm like relaxed and you know casual in a way in my approach. And then when the game nears, you know, it's just about, you know, locking back in. And I don't really have any crazy pregame rituals other than tying my shoes, like maybe 30 times. in the hour leading up to the game between warm-ups and on the court. But I guess my superstition is going out of my way to try to, like, not think too much about the game. Yeah. So, yeah, nothing too crazy. Yeah. But I've seen some crazy ones.
You have a jersey thing? You like to hang your jersey off the back of your chair?
Oh, see? Yeah. Okay.
Pays attention. Yeah.
So he did his homework.
I did do my homework. And
no, that's very true,
And not saying that it might have impacted, but you did have a bit of a jersey issue on the weekend.
Yes.
You couldn't find your jersey for about 5 minutes, so maybe that threw you off a little bit.
you're right on point, man. Like, it is a bit of that is a thing. Pre-game, I don't warm up with my practice jersey. Yep. So I put it on the bench and I put my, my warm-up top just over top. And then I swapped the warm-up for the jersey before the game instead of underneath. But, yeah, last weekend, my jersey, somehow, I don't know who did it.
Not putting any fingers.
might have been an old teammate. We never know.
It could have, it ended up in my bag. There's still an investigation going on. I might have did it myself. But I can't confirm. So all I know is 10
minutes. I'm backing Matt here. I think Tomato just came by and swiped that one. He knew it would put you off.
Some say it was Devin, so I don't know. But that's a bit of a routine, a bit of a superstition. Yeah.
There you go.
Does anyone else on the team have any obvious pre-game superstitions? I don't want to hear the boring stuff. I want to hear something exciting.
Not on this team. I mean, we have 10 new guys, so
yeah.
I'm trying to learn the guys. I'm sure some of them probably Baru. Baru probably does something I just don't know.
Yeah.
I just got to do a little more investigation.
How you obviously do the on-court warm-up, then you go back into the change rooms or whatever, and then you do that. I used to know a guy that played NBL 1 that would do the warm-up stuff, go back in to do that quick 5-minute chat, and he would have to crunch a Red Bull every single time in that brief moment at the back in the change rooms, crunch a Red Bull, come back out to play the game. That's hectic. They don't sit well with me, Red Bull. So I don't know how you do that and then immediately go out and play a basketball game. So
probably wasn't sitting well with his heart either. So
yeah, probably. And you've recently gone to Luxembourg. So tell us a bit about the time over there in Europe and how that went.
Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, I towards the end of last year, in preparation to make a NBL pursuit, it was about making sure, I did my due diligence in the professional basketball player that I am and hearing out opportunities that I've always had opportunities, in Europe or Asia during the, winter season, the Australian winter season. And obviously there's been years in the past where, I played with Melbourne United and, being naturalized this past year and it coming a little bit late, if there weren't, I was thinking, do I hang around and see what opportunities may fall into my hands through the NBL, movement as the season goes, or do I go overseas and make sure I stay sharp? And by the time I, engage with some offers, there's one in Japan, there's one, Middle East, there's one in Europe, and Luxembourg, ended up being one where it was like, okay, I can build a bit of a network. I can double down on my game and I can be sharp and it can springboard me into, the season down here and hopefully what I feel I deserve is an NBL opportunity.
Well, you heard it here first. Melbourne United, South East Melbourne Phoenix. We want you to stay in Victoria. We want you to be local. So sign this man. Recently naturalised. He's averaging the same career stats across his entire NBL one career that he is now. And the season's only going to get better. So I know you don't watch it, but watch it. Sign this man. We want to see him get a gig.
They're watching.
All right. So obviously from there, just to sort of wrap up the journey a bit, now you're at Casey. We finally got you here. We've been chasing you for a couple of years. Finally got you through the doors. What's it been like? Let's talk a bit about obviously the team and the fans and things like that too. Because we like to think we have a really strong fan base here. We know you like to give back to the fans. So tell us a bit about the experience here and how welcoming it's been.
Yeah. Well, first, Tammy's been, extraordinary. And, obviously Greg, the whole, front office and stuff. But as a club, the support and how I've watched, from being somebody who's been living in Melbourne, since 2015, I've seen Casey go from, Big V, Div, V, Div.
Oh, yeah, look at the guy that played Div 2.
I didn't know where to look.
That's all right. Nah, we actually, believe it or not, before my time, they were in Division 3. Cranbourne Cavaliers were in Division 3. Then it changed to Case Cavaliers. The league got rid of Division 3, and then we were in Division 2. Yeah. 2015, we were in Division 1 by then.
Yeah.
And then 2016, Division 1. Then 2017, we moved into Champion. Oh, Yeah, I think that was the year we moved into champ. Maybe the year after that.
Yeah. I mean, that's extraordinary. Like, it's a, you know, compacted time and that growth. Obviously, that's not all, you know, there's a lot of pieces that help make it where it is now. But you know, seeing it now and coming in and there's a professionalism, you know, that happens within the club and within the organization. And it's something that, you know, I'm excited now to be a part of. And you know, the fans, like, you know, the kids and how much they, you know, win or lose or draw, like, they, you know, they have our backs. And that's, it's a special thing because, you know, from a player standpoint, you know, all we want to be able to do is give them what they deserve. And, like, they deserve, you know, as a club, as an association of the year, literally, right? Like, in, you know,
in that time period over the last decade,
it's been a few.
Three times. Exactly. Association of the year.
It's impressive. And, you know, same with Tammy as well and her awards. Like, you know, as a club, you know, they deserve for, you know, our senior teams to, you know, hang banners, not just compete for finals, like, you know, compete for championships and put ourselves in the position. So, and I love the guys that we have together, you know, our coaches, our team, like, all high character, you know, people who are, you know, who enjoy the success of those around them. And, you know, I've been on teams in the past where it's not as easy to say that you have such a high character team. And, you know, this team is definitely, you know, an extraordinary one. So, you know, it's just about, you know, figuring things out and, you know, making changes and then sticking with the changes. And, you know, and teams in the league, don't get me wrong, teams in the league like fierce. They know what we're capable of. They know, you know, the roster we put together. They know the caliber. And when they come in here, you know, they see a professionalism. So it's just about when everything meshes together and, you know, all of our talents can be revealed. And then, you know, we can string multiple wins together and we can become, you know, a team that's in it for the long haul.
Well, I'm glad it feels that way because we try very hard here at KC to try and make everything as professional as we can do. But you say that the kids are great fans. I'll tell you what, it's not just the kids. I have heard of plenty of crushes and some man crushes on you throughout both the staff and some of the fans and things like that. So we've got a few people that have a bit of man crush on Dylan Stith lately. So
I've heard the crushes are... Somebody's like crushing on Karabatsis or something.
I think there's a few across the board for both teams.
Josh Tomasi.
They love Josh. Yeah. I saw somebody with JT's initials in their head.
Really?
Yeah. You know, Preston. I mean, Preston. I have the admiration for Preston. I mean, Preston's, you know, he's pretty extraordinary. So, yeah, it's there's a few crushes coming from, kids and adults alike, I suppose.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, you can see, obviously, Dylan and the team and obviously the NBL women as well this Sunday here at the Fortress. We're back here at Casey Stadium. 1 p.m. tip-off for the women, 3 p.m. tip-off for the men. They're taking on the Mount Gambier Pioneers. So get down, bring the noise, you know, make, you know, Dylan feel the professionalism that we like to bring and the crowd, the noise, all of that stuff.
And don't forget to stream it on Saturday night, nbl1.com.au/watch or the NBL1 app as the Cavaliers take on the Bendigo Braves.
Double down on that. Get down to the Fortress on Saturday night. Watch the Youth Champ Women and Youth Champ Men, 5:30 and 7:30 here at the Fortress. Bring your phone, your iPad, whatever. Yeah. You can watch these guys while they're playing away and watch the game live right in front of you. Obviously, you can watch it for live at free, nbl1.com.au.
Playing cards this week, Ash.
If you get down on Sunday, obviously, we've got the cards here. We'll superimpose them on the screen again. I got Baru here and Lauren Hippolyte. Yeah. So if you want to get down, get their autographs, collect the cards. We do know there's a few people that like to collect all the cards across the season. I'm one of them. Don't worry, Dill. Yours is coming. It's all right, man.
He's coming.
He's on it off. He's taking that to Baru to get signed.
That's right. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Casey Basketball, Casey.basketball, Casey Basketball. Ash loves that one. Now, a sponsor's Ash. Guzmani Gomez didn't go off this week.
Yeah, do you like that? The GYG chant?
I can't lie. Like, I was hungry after the game. And
did you go to GYG? Because that's part of it.
This is the first time that we didn't get it.
Yeah. Right? The first time this season.
I mean, usually you should see, man. You should see GYG. I mean, you got like four Casey cars in the drive-through. So, just didn't get it done, man. And that's on Killside.
That being said, though, just an update on the GYG vouchers because we do love them. But there's a couple of changes that are made. As we know, when we spoke about this earlier this year, if they do go off, you can't claim them the day of the game. So you have to claim them. I think they give you 5 days after that. So if the game's on Saturday, you get, I think, Sunday to Thursday or something like that. If the game's on Sunday, like it is this week, you get Monday to Friday to claim the vouchers. And you can't claim them through drive-thru. You do need to go into the store to claim them. And that's at Cranbourne, Pakenham or Fountain Gate.
Perfect. So, yep, thanks to our sponsors, GYG, Guzmani Gomez, fast food your mum says yes to, and they have ice cream.
Yep. Melbourne Orthodontic Group, keep smiling.
Carlisle Homes, build a better home.
Well, that's a good plug right there. That's a good plug. If you are going to build a better home with Combs, we've had a few come through now. Get the referral form in. It's just if you're going to build anyway, you might as well get $500 back in your pocket at home and a couple of dollars for the association as well.
That's right. PhysioWorks Health Group assisting Casey Basketball with injury prevention and recovery. Hopefully, Dylan doesn't have to use it this year.
Hopefully not. But you see Nathan each week, though. Does he, you know? Yes. Gives you a quick look over.
Well, yeah, I actually do my best to not see the physios.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So, yeah, the body's a good check. Ray White Cranbourne, if you want to sell a home, get in touch with them. They'll sort you out.
Intersport Cranbourne and Casey Central.
Basketball shoes. Do you need new basketball shoes?
Baru. Story for everyone. Sorry.
Here we
Baru.
Go.
Story time.
You know, we're in Tasmania and, you know, we finish our game in Hobart. We're in Northwest Tassie the next day. It's time for the game. And lo and behold, of course, how long is the track between?
Probably about 2.5-3 hours.
2.5 hours.
Yeah, by car.
About 2-3 hours before the game, or maybe a little bit more. Baru realizes he left his shoes.
He did not.
In Hobart.
Oh, no.
Yes. And
we all know Baru is a big guy, Baru.
Yeah.
Tough
so
to
you,
find
you
shoes
can't
his
just,
size.
You know, grab a size 18 from anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, if it was like Jared or something, I mean, you could, you know, drive to Kohl's or something probably and get some sneakers for him. But anyway, it'd be nice if, you know, we had a place like that to grab the shoes. And I'll also say packing a Mazda. I love the Mazda.
Universal Athlete Center. They've got you covered for gym and shooting bays and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, have you been down there? Worked out down there yet?
Yes.
Mortgage Choice Clyde. If you have if you want to refinance or you're looking at getting a mortgage, go to Mortgage Choice Clyde. They'll help you out.
Awesome.
Could you introduce me to Clyde, because I've been trying. Yeah. Could they help me out, Clyde?
Mortgage Choice.
Are you looking to buy or
no? Who's Clyde?
Clyde. That's the location.
Oh, I thought it was the guy.
Daniel and Sarah are the guys that run Mortgage Choice. Mortgage Choice Clyde is the location. Like Packenham is obviously.
I thought it was just one bloke named Clyde.
Yeah, no. You can try. I don't know how it'll go for you. Moving on though, Clyde's just up the road up here.
Speaking of going back to shoes, are you a Nike person, Jordan person? You a Way of Wade type of person?
Under Armour.
Leaning. I am no Under Armour. No. It's without a doubt Nike. I mean, it would be kind of. Some people don't wear Nike, and it bothers me a little bit. But I mean, to each his own. I think Li Ning is actually an anti. I think that they're actually really quality shoes. And the other stuff, like, you know, I've worn a few non-Nikes before.
Not worth mentioning.
And I hate to be like, you know, a brand guy, but I think it's more. I think it's significant. You know, like. I mean, let's just be honest. Like, Puma just simply cares more about soccer than basketball.
Yeah, I used to love the OG Hyperdunks.
Yes.
I love
2010 Hyperdunks were the best ones.
They were good.
Are you a high top?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I tried going low, but it hurts my ankles. I don't know. I'm very clumsy on my feet, so I needed the extra support.
I went low and I have no ankles left.
Although, speaking of shoes that aren't Nike, though, I did one season go the, you know, remember the Steph Currys that had that little bit of a sock sleeve thing?
Yes.
On top? Yeah,
yes,
no, I rocked those. They were comfortable, I thought.
Yeah.
Not Nike, though.
Yeah. I mean, just not Nike.
Didn't help me shoot either. Thought a bit of Steph Curry energy might help me shoot.
I missed the Kyrie Irvings. You know, those were really good shoes, like extraordinary performance shoes. So,
what about the Andrew Gazers? Do you ever rock a pair
actually,
of the Andrew Gazers?
I have a few pair of Gazers.
Yeah,
I actually do. I have the gray colorway with the boomer green trim on the Peak logo. I think it's a fantastic look. Absolutely horrible shoe.
We won't let Andrew know you said that.
Yeah,
we'll let him know at the end of the season.
I mean, he has a shoe. The joke's on us.
Yeah, that's true. So, but anyway, if you need any stuff, head to Intersport Cranbourne Case Central. They get you sorted for your sports gear, merchandise. We talk about this every week. Scarves, they're new this year. Keep cups, they're new. Can coolers, gibbets, size 3 and 5 basketballs, drink bottles. Gibbets. New merch. I say this every week. You know what gibbets are?
I'm right at that age where I just discovered recently, but I'm more. I just think it's, you know.
For your Crocs.
We have gibbets.
Yeah.
Casey gibbets.
We do have Casey for your Crocs.
Yep.
Yeah.
You wear Crocs?
No.
A lot of kids
it's like
wear Crocs.
I don't like wear Crocs either. It's like the yes to Universal Athletic Center.
Yeah. A lot of the kids wear Crocs. A lot of kids wear Crocs. Probably I would say like 80% of the kids that do basketball that change their shoes will rock the Crocs.
See, half the guys on our team wear Crocs as well. Yep. And I was actually recently told what Crocs are now is what Birks were.
Yeah.
So my Birks, I'm now like a
you're
dinosaur.
Old. Yeah,
it's
you're
just,
old.
It's a shame.
Yeah. Just thongs for me, I reckon.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep up.
That's just not good.
I'm trying to keep up with the trends. I got a pair of Crocs. I'm trying to keep up.
What color?
Lime green.
Damn.
and then it goes without saying, for most people know this by now, but I'm also colorblind, so that probably makes sense that I went with lime green.
Oh, he is. Doesn't even know what color shirt he's wearing.
That's a hidden color. It's a Casey shirt, so I assume it's navy blue. Let's go with that. All right, let's talk a bit about our junior Cavaliers. So we have our Intersport Team of the Week. It was the under-14-7 girls. They picked up a strong 11-point win over Ringwood last Friday, making them equal first on the ladder. Well done, girls.
Awesome. Taylor Simmons was a notable mention to attend training this Tuesday night.
Yeah, last night. We're filming today on a Wednesday.
So yeah, no, Taylor obviously went down there and helped out the under-12 girls, and they absolutely loved it. So thanks, Taylor, for making the effort to go down there.
We'll chuck some photos up here. They sent us some photos.
Yeah, and you'll see some of the other NBL1 players at training over the next couple of Sundays.
You coming down?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, I am.
Which week? I'm going to put you on the spot.
That's not a UAC yes. That's a definite yes.
This Sunday? Or the
Yes. Yeah. No, Sunday. Yeah, Sunday.
This Sunday coming? Yes, you can come before the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, easy. Awesome. What time do you think you're coming down?
I'm not sure of the time, but yeah. I can...
They train 8 till 12.
Yeah,
so,
I know it's a gap. It's a window. Yeah. Choose. Just depends on how... If the drive back from Bendigo is going well...
Then we're talking about that this morning.
Then it'd be like, 8:30. I mean, I'm popping up. I'm having my coffee.
Yeah.
If not, then it'll be like 11:40 if the drive goes poorly.
All right. Well, let's hope Let's... Well, if you're here Sunday, you might get to see Dylan.
Yes.
You might get to see
Dylan.
But
you can see Dylan still. Get down. 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, here at the Fortress.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. Referee news.
We've done the referee news. Did you ever referee basketball?
No, but I mean, I've done a lot of coaching and, I like refereeing. Kind of in the States, the referees will go back and forth with the players, have a conversation, a little bit of banter. I did it that way, not the Australian way necessarily, but
How do you got a good relationship with the referees down in Australia?
I've only had two techs, but I'm not gonna lie, like being genuine, like I think the referees in our league are like they're awesome. Yeah. I think they're good, and they're trying to make the game go as smooth as possible, and we can't look at it like they're. We got to look at like they're a part of the game in a way, and you got to have good communication with them. That way they can relay to you what you're doing wrong, what you're doing right.
That's a good pump up for the referees.
It's a very good pump up.
If you want to become a referee, get your expressions of expressions of interest in for the July school here at Casey. And we've got some referee promotions this week, Matt. So do you want to go through those?
We do. We do. I don't know why I said it that way, but we got promoted to B grade. Tilly Gordian, Matthew Rotman, Liam Warner, Lucas Duff, and Seb Grosso.
And I have been paying attention over the last 12 months. A few of those names have won referee of the month the past year. So it's good to see them getting promoted. And
Josh has a bias towards people in the B grade school. I don't know. I'm just saying.
No, I don't think so. But promoted to C grade. We've got Aiden Speck and Jacqueline Ramakanthran. Congratulations to both of you on getting promoted to C grade. And finally, just some upcoming programs and events. Registration is now open for the free clinic and girls rule program. A couple of free programs there. Holiday clinics for Hoop Heroes, domestic players, and the Junior Cavaliers. Junior Cavaliers, you get your info on Team App. And the 3x3 registrations are now open for the July 3x3 tournament, which is on July 10th. Have you ever been down to the 3x3 tournaments we've run here?
Yes, I actually have.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Huge, man.
Massive. It's 200 teams.
It's incredible. And, 3x3 is an Olympic sport now. So,
The pathway's
get
growing.
Get in, get around it. It's fun, and you got to get over mistakes really quick. So I think it's really good for basketball development.
Yep, nice. That's the formalities done. Let's have a quick chat, though, about some stuff that's probably not so basketball related. Oh, footy. Do you follow it? Must be by now. You've been here for nearly 10 years. Yeah. Who do you go for?
The Demons.
You go for the Demons? Yeah. Give me some of that. Right, yeah.
I'm not about this. I'm packing up. We're going home.
I love that. Yeah. It's very rare that I find a fellow Demon, especially...
like a cheese board, then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cheese platter.
Don't act like you don't like a cheese platter.
Oh, but I froth the cheese platter.
Yeah, my better half is she's a Demon supporter, Katie. So I've been it was a non-negotiable essentially.
Which team do you hate?
Which team do I hate?
Like you can pick a couple. That's all right.
Team that I hate.
There are some acceptable answers to this question. There are some that are not acceptable.
I hate Collingwood fans.
Yeah.
So you're saying you don't like CEO Tammy Bauer? Is that what you're saying?
She's a big Collingwood fan.
I love Collingwood. No. I can see the magpie right there. That's on me. Mason Cox, he obviously, I love listening to his podcast and as an American, he played a little basketball even though it was, B grade.
Yeah. He's a funny guy.
He's funny. Yeah. He's witty. He's, pretty cool. But I have a good friend, Adam Walsh, who is a Collingwood fan. And, after every game, he's sending me, this magpie gif. And I'm like, you know, just get it off my phone. You know, what I mean? Like, I just don't want that. I don't want to see like crows and stuff, you know, magpies, whatever they are. I don't want to see them.
Yeah.
And I don't really dislike any of the teams, you know. The Lions kind of get on my nerves because I don't know why. I don't know what, like, what club are they? Are they like from some suburb in Melbourne or something? Originally Brisbane?
Fitzroy?
Yeah.
Yeah, like.
Originally, long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and the Gabba seems cool.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, it just.
Same as Sydney then, because Sydney used to be South Melbourne.
I feel like Sydney, like, as the Swans, I feel like they got a good thing going. Like, I feel like Sydney needed that, you know what I mean? Brisbane Lions just, it just seems like.
Just a bit whatever.
And look, they're good now, but they weren't when I first got here.
They're actually not that good right now.
They're not?
They're not, well, this season.
Cut that. Let's restart. Yeah, they're not that good.
They were good. They had. No, you're right, though. They have been good over the past couple of seasons. Yeah. But at the moment, they're struggling, which is, you know, I like that. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Brisbane fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I dislike a lot of teams, but maybe I'm just I'm a hateful man when it comes to football. I just really like my Demons, and I really don't like Essendon. I don't like the players, the fans, or the club.
I don't like St. Kilda.
Collingwood, though, I'm similar to you there. I don't like the fans.
Yeah, but
I don't mind the team. I don't mind the team. I love the coach for Collingwood, Craig McRae. He's pretty cool.
I would say I don't mean to interrupt you, but yeah, I was just thinking of a team. Like, I would say, like, I dislike North Melbourne, but I don't because I completely forget about it. Because
they're so bad.
Like, it's hard for me to. I don't have. Like, they're possibly the only team I have zero opinion on.
Yeah.
Because, like, they just seem so zero.
Yeah, complete indifference because they're relatively irrelevant.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's just horrible.
I agree, though. St. Kilda. I'm not a big fan of St. Kilda at all. Yeah,
Competitions
Braden.
Person.
Yeah, Braden.
Braden Van Loo. Yeah, probably shout out again, Braden.
Probably contributes to our hatred for St. Kilda.
Is St. Kilda good at football?
Nah.
Nah, yeah, I wouldn't have thought so. They're like North Melbourne.
Yeah.
A little bit more relevant, but not.
Yeah. Carlton's another team I don't like.
Carlton.
Shout out to George Mihai. He's a watcher. Yeah. Nick Mihai's brother. Carlton guy.
Carlton.
I can't get around them. And I know they just beat us, so it looks a bit salty from my point of view, but I didn't like them anyway before that. So.
I believe you.
Anyway, we're probably running out of time, to be honest. This is going to be a long podcast, but it's good. It's been insightful. So appreciate you coming down.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
No, thank you guys for having me.
No problem.
Genuinely, anytime.
And my mom is watching this. Her name's Lisa. So, hey, Mom, I hope you enjoyed it. And if you guys want to say hey.
Thanks for watching, Lisa. We might have to send her out some merchandise or something. Yeah. Get her on the Casey gear.
She's going
to
love this, by the way. It's going
to
be good.
Well, you're welcome anytime on here. If you want to see Dylan again in the team, live and in action here, come down to the Fortress on Sunday from 1 p.m. to see the NBL 1 Women and then the men at 3 to take on Mount Gambier Pioneers. And touched on it before, you can watch them live against Bendigo on the Saturday or get down here to the Fortress to watch the Youth League men and women.
Fantastic.
Awesome. We'll see you then. The Fortress erupts here.